Madam Chairman and friends. Many, many years ago, I spent some time on a sacred mountain in South India. And the name of this sacred mountain was Arunachala. Arunachala is a Sanskrit word, and it means the mountain of light. And according to local tradition, according to local Hindu belief, Arunachala originally was just this, a mountain of light, an enormous mass of incandescent radiance of pure light. But this was, of course, many millions of years ago, way back in the past, in the dim, legendary, mythical, primeval, even primordial past. According to Indian, according to Hindu tradition, this was in the Satya Yuga, in the age of truth, the first of the four ages into which Hindus and Buddhists traditionally divide the history of the world. But then we are told, according to this tradition, a change took place. The age of truth lasted quite a long time, a very long time, millions of years. It was a very beautiful period, ideal period, paradise-like period. But eventually, as always happens, it seems, the world deteriorated just a little. It entered upon what the Hindus call the Treta Yuga, which is the second of the four ages. And in this age, we are told, in this age, according to Hindu tradition, according to local Hindu belief, Arunachala appeared not as a mountain of light anymore. It deteriorated too. And it appeared in this age as a great mountain, a great glowing pile or heap of rubies. And then we are told the world deteriorated a little more still. It entered upon the Dwapara Yuga, the third of the four ages, and in this age, Arunachala appeared merely as a mountain of gold. And of course the world deteriorated even more. Things became, we are told, really bad. The world entered then the Kali Yuga, the fourth and the last age. And Kali Yuga means the age of darkness. And this, of course, is the age in which we are living at present. And in this age, we are told, in this age of darkness, Arunachala appears as a mountain of stones. The spiritually minded, however, we are told, still see it not as a mountain of stones, not even as a mountain of gold or of rubies. They still see it as a great mountain of light. Now, I was reminded of all this recently. All this came floating back into recollection because in these lectures, in this whole course, in fact, we've been climbing up the side of a mountain. Perhaps, in a sense, climbing up the side of a mountain, if we did but know it, of light. Week by week, we've been making some progress. Progress not on the level, not on the flat, as it were, not even up the hypotenuse of the triangle of our first chart. As we saw, I think, last week, our journey has been rather up the side of a pyramid or up the side of a mountain. And as we also saw last week, the higher we have climbed, the less in extent, the narrower, if you like, has become the diameter of the mountain, the diameter of the peak up which we have been climbing. In other words, more literally, the shorter the length of time with which we have been concerned. So much so that eventually, as we go up and up, concerning ourselves with more and more limited periods at ever higher and higher levels, eventually we shall find ourselves standing on a veritable pinpoint.